No, it's another interesting passage we have here today from the Gospel of St. Luke. It's really interesting because I think for two reasons. Number one, in the last few weeks, we've talked about possessions and owning things a couple of times in Scripture. And the topic of our possessions, our money, our resources comes up a lot in Scripture. A lot of people don't realize this, but next to the kingdom of God, Jesus talked more about money and possessions and our stewardship than any other single issue. Now, why is that? Kingdom of God, on the one hand, and money, stewardship, possessions, on the other. Well, the other night at a Bible study at Grace, we were studying the passage, the fourth chapter of 1 John, one of my favorite passages. And in that passage, it talks about how we have to be on guard against the world and those who are of the world. And as we were discussing that section of Scripture, I said, do you know the most important reason for being on guard with the world and the things of the world? And they came up with half a dozen reasons why that should be so and didn't cover the one I was thinking about. That happens at Bible study a lot here too. But it's because Scripture tells us, the Gospel of John tells us, not once, not twice, but three different times from the mouth of Jesus, that this world is ruled by Satan, the devil. If you think back to Matthew, you think about the temptations of Christ. You know, right after he was baptized, he was driven into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights to be tempted by Satan. What was the third temptation? The third temptation was Satan taking him up and showing him all of the kingdoms of the world and saying, I will give you all of these to rule over if you'll bow down and worship me. Now, how could Satan give him all the kingdoms of the world if they didn't belong to Satan? You see, when the devil was cast down from heaven, he was cast down here to earth. That's a part of the sin. And when Jesus comes again, in Jesus' second coming, it says that Satan will be cast in there and God will reclaim this whole earth for his own. It started as God's creation. Satan tempted Adam and Eve in the garden, and the world was lost to Satan. It was reclaimed to some degree through Jesus Christ. When he came into the world, he gave us power over the world. He gave us power over sin. He gave us power over death. But until he comes again, this world is not completely his. So a brother showed up one day when Jesus was talking to the crowd. And he said, Master, have my brother divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus said, what are you asking me to do? I'm not here to settle your arguments, to be an arbitrator between you. He said, you need to worry about greed and holding on to possessions. Now you see, in the Jewish system, the eldest son got almost everything. The eldest son moved into the position of the father, and the youngest son, or the younger sons, if there were more than one son, ended up kind of having their older brother being in the father position. They got a little bit, but not much. Not unless their brother died. And then it was passed to the next oldest and the next oldest. And this younger brother came and said, hey, I want more of what my dad owned. And Jesus said, you're missing the point. Let me tell you a story. And he told the story that Linwood just read to you. A man who had such a good year, he had so many crops, he had no place to store them. So he said, I'm going to tear down my old barns, build new barns, then I'll have a place to store them. Well, he's got more energy than I do. I started on a barn about a year and a half ago, and it's still not finished, and the thought of tearing it down to build a bigger one scares me to death. But maybe when you've got so much, maybe when you've got more than enough to spare, maybe that makes sense. You know, I've wondered that about banks. Have you ever noticed how banks, every few years, you know, redo their buildings bigger and grander with our money? Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed how businesses are always remodeling and putting big and building bigger and grander? Well, part of that's because they get a tax write-off, spending it on a building instead of giving it back to their investors. But part of it's this mentality of bigger and better that we've talked about before. And that's what Jesus was talking about in this parable. Here this man had so much that he could tear down his old barns, build new barns, put his stuff in there, and then he says, "Boy, I have got it made. I can eat, drink, and be merry, have a good time, because I've got so much." And the scripture goes on to say, and that night, his soul was required of him. So what good did all of those possessions do for him? And then that passage ends with these words: rather than storing up treasures on earth, we should store riches in God. We should be rich with God. Now, what does that mean? Well, I think part of the meaning of that is that we should focus on God's goodness instead of just the goodies life has to offer. Now, that's hard to do. There was a program on TV last night. I never can. There's so many of these news reporting programs, I can't keep up with which one is on what night and on what channel. But there was one on last night, some of you may have seen it, about the hype that's done to sell us more and more. A whole program, a whole hour done on hype, which is the research that advertisers do to figure out how to sell us more, bigger, better. That we live in a society that's obsessed with this. More, bigger, better. We live in a society that says, be greedy for material things. And Jesus says, be greedy for God's goodness. If you're going to be envious of everlasting life. If you're going to covet something, don't let it be your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's house, your neighbor's car. Covet the character of God. It may be in some way Jesus is saying, hey, it's okay to be greedy. It's the object of your greed that's important. It's okay to envy things, but let the object of your envy be worthy. Now, what's the goodness of God that we should covet? You know, I remember reading one time in Jeremiah that Jeremiah was so enthusiastic about learning more about the Word of God that Jeremiah literally ate the scrolls. He wanted the Word of God. He was so hungry, he was so greedy for the Word of God that he ate the very scrolls that they were printed on. That seems a little extreme, but it was focused in the right direction. It was envy focused on something worthy. What is this goodness of God? What is the goodness of God that He wants for us? That kind of God that I talked with the children about and Linwood read about in Hosea. A God who taught us to walk. A God who was there to love us, heal us, and take care of us. What is that goodness? Do you want the goodness of God in your life? Well, in Galatians 5th chapter, we're told what that is. It's the fruit of the Spirit. If we're going to build a warehouse, that warehouse should be our minds, our bodies, our very being. And we should fill it with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, generosity, self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. If we're going to be greedy about something, we should be greedy about wanting those things in our lives. How many of us would be damaged by more love in our lives? Being loved and loving others. Now that's being rich. How many of us would not benefit from just joy in everyday life? Well, it's kind of hard to have joy in everyday life if I'm always working for possessions, if I'm always tearing down small barns, building new barns, if I'm always looking for more possessions and how to take care of them. How do I really experience joy in life? How do I experience peace when all of these things in my lives present so many problems? Wouldn't you like to live in a kinder world? A gentler world? You know, some people here are old enough to remember an American society that was kinder and more gentle. Aren't you envious of that? Haven't you heard about a time like that? And don't you envy that a little bit? It's okay. That's part of the goodness of God. What about faithfulness? Trustworthiness. That we can count on people's word. We can trust what people say. Wouldn't it be good to live day by day with that as part of the goodness of God in our lives? You know, I looked in the paper yesterday and I found an article next to a picture of Bush and Cheney. He's taking a vacation. He said when he comes back in September, the second stage of his presidency begins, when he will promote the values agenda. And he says, I quote, "With a limited budget, we must have an active, compassionate government." Hey, that's great. That's great. But is the other behavior of our country contradicting about values? You see, it's a contradiction between the goodness of God and the goodies of the world. See, we want them both. We don't want to have to make a choice. I mean, it appears to me that Bush wants them both. I mean, we had riots in Europe because we can't agree to cutting emissions that are changing the weather patterns in our world. You know, Bush and some other people say, well, we're not really sure there's scientific evidence to substantiate that. Well, I tell you what, it's a whole lot weirder today than it was 30 years ago, and things certainly appear to be changing as far as I'm concerned about the weather. But we don't want to agree to that, whereas a lot of other countries are agreeing to it, because we don't want to hurt the economy. See, values are okay as long as they don't hurt our goodies. We're the richest nation in the world. And we're the most wasteful nation in the world. Our garbage dumps would meet the needs of half of the world's poor. The food we throw away, the possessions we discard, our garbage would take care of half of the needs of the poor in the world. Our garbage has nothing to do with the goodness of God, has nothing to do with our generosity, which is one of the characters of a good God. Just our garbage would probably take care of half of the needs of the world's poor. And we argue about where the garbage dumps are going to be. Become big issues for us. We drive cars. We need gas. So we want to go up into Alaska and get more oil. And yet experts tell us if we just conserved on gas a little bit, if we had higher standards for gas mileage on our cars, we wouldn't have to touch that beautiful wilderness. We talk about the beauty of our beaches, our rivers, our streams, our mountains. But are they going to be there for us to enjoy, for our children and our grandchildren to enjoy, if all we care about is what we make right now? That's a part of kindness to the world we live in. Being responsible for this gorgeous world that is ours. You know, coming up and down Hope Mills Road the other day, about 2 weeks ago, when I noticed they'd taken out those three or four beautiful oak trees in front of the little shopping center at Cumberland Road. Broke my heart. Broke my heart. Now, because we're in the city, we'll have to plant new trees. But a few years later, we're going to cut those down too. About time they get really beautiful, we'll cut them down again. Why is it we can't plan a little better? Why is it that we don't care a little bit more about the beauty of this world? The goodness of God that's there in nature. See, we can have it all. You know, God said, hey, I created the world, it's mine, I give it to you. I don't ask but one thing. Give me 10% of it. You take 90%, do with it as you will. Hopefully you'll do good with it because you love me. But you can have 90%. Just show that you honor me and love me and care about my goodness. Give me 10%. See, it's the goodness or the goodies. And in reality, we can't have all of everything. You may have been told that, but it's not true. When Jesus was praying, as recorded in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, he says, Father, I ask not that you take my disciples out of this world. I just ask that you be with them, that they might not be of this world. It's okay to live in the world, to enjoy all God's given us. But we need to focus on His goodness rather than just the goodies of life. God invites you today to experience His love, to experience real joy in your life, true peace. Experience kindness, show kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, generosity to others, and self-control in this life so we have more to give. And when we have more to give in a strange way, He'll give it back to us again and again and again. I'm asking you this morning, I want you to be greedy people. I want you to covet something. I want you to be envious of something. I want you to covet the goodness of God. All of the good things that God would give to you. And He said, when you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, all the things you need will be given unto you. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we know that this country really does need a value agenda. And I hope some of that can come from Washington, but I'd be real surprised if it had a tremendous impact. It's your plan that goodness agenda come from the church. That your people gathered here together as the body of Christ this morning become a living agenda that tells of your goodness. May we be filled with your goodness May we covet it. May we envy it. May we be greedy for the good and wonderful things that you want for us. And none of them can be really measured by possessions, because they're joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, generosity, and self-control. Lord, we seek that goodness and trust that you'll provide goodies with it. In Jesus' name, amen.